Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A slew of roster moves for the Washington football team to tell you about today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We want to welcome our Richmond audience in. They pick us up for 3 hours every day starting right now on AM 910 and FM 105.1. For the rest of you all over D.C., listening to the flagship 106.7 or anywhere else in the country, coast to coast on the Odyssey app. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It means a lot. Washington has signed a kicker to their practice squad. Chris Blewett, who's from West Potomac High School here locally, went to Pitt. So Dustin Hopkins could have a little competition, or at least someone in the building, maybe pushing him after missing a couple of extra points. And they have reshuffled the practice squad because Danny Johnson, cornerback who's been on and off the active roster the last couple of years, is being elevated.
Okay.
Torrey McTyer is out for the year. Benjamin St. Juste has been in the concussion protocol, the third-round rookie out of Minnesota. So the promotion for Danny Johnson, who plays special teams and corner, could mean he'll get some run this weekend. But let's get to the BetQL guest hotline right now. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app by visiting BetQL.com and talk to Ben Lindsay of Pro Football Focus, NFL analyst for them, who joins us on G&D. And Ben, I want to start with Taylor Heinicke because I saw inadvertently, you kind of tweeted about him today. I think you were making a Josh Allen point, but you posted the lowest PFF passing grades from a clean pocket. I don't understand how Taylor Heinicke's PFF grade is so terrible this year. He's actually played pretty well. What gives there?
Yeah, it's the combination of a couple things. The stats, especially last week, are a little bit misleading because he did have three dropped interceptions. So it's just been a combination of that, not necessarily translating to the overall numbers, and a little bit of inaccuracy. But for a guy who's coming in who didn't have a ton of experience, he has played relatively well for Washington, and especially sort of giving them those extended plays when the pressure does get home. So he sort of exceeded expectations, but it still looks like those numbers could come back a little bit if a few balls bounce a couple different ways.
So help me understand, just as in terms of grading kind of what you look for, because I totally understand the point there. Like, hey, an accurate ball is an inaccurate ball. But do you guys, like, are you awarding any positive grades for, yeah, that might have been a sack, but he avoided it and, you know, scrambled for 5 yards? Or is it more, that's actually more negative because he missed an open receiver? You see what I'm trying to get at there? Like, how are you guys awarding points and taking them away?
Yeah, it's all based off of sort of the process rather than the results. Mm-hmm. So there are plays that go the other way. If Heinicke's dropping a ball down in there deep to his receiver, it lands on his hands and he's not coming up with it. That does get a positive grade for us, sort of the flip side of those dropped interceptions.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of how bad Washington's defense has been? Maybe the best way to ask it is, what did you think of them coming into the year and what are you seeing now?
Yeah, I think their defense has been the biggest disappointment on the team, especially in the secondary and their coverage unit. That's an area where they sort of exceeded expectations last year. And then you look at them this year, And there was excitement with guys like William Jackson coming in, some of the moves they made. And it's just been a lot of big plays allowed. They're tied for the most plays of 15 or more yards allowed by a defense in the passing game. That's a combination of some miscommunications, some missed tackles. But I think overall that's sort of been the biggest issue with their defense, because the front four, even though some guys like Chase Young hasn't necessarily taken the step that we might have expected coming into the year, they've still been playing well up front. It's been the secondary that's been the letdown.
Go into that a little bit. So, you know, it's tough to see just watching the games at home, kind of the full panorama of the field, but I just know watching their games and watching other teams, seems like guys are a lot more open against this Washington secondary. What are you seeing there, Ben?
Yeah, I think miscommunications and sort of blown coverages has been a big thing for them, and that's to be expected when you have essentially three new starters in there with William Jackson, St. Juste, Bobby McCain. It's just a situation where those guys haven't fully come together yet. You have Kendall Fuller going back into the slot and now back outside. You just have a lot of moving pieces, and that's led to some of those miscommunications, some of those big plays that have really hurt them.
Our guest, PFF's Ben Lindsay, on the BetQL guest hotline right now, joining us on Grant and Danny. Before I move out of the NFC East, the Cowboys look legit. They can run the ball, they can throw the ball, and their defense is much improved. Do we see any warts with them yet? Any reason for pause, or are they authentic?
I think the offense is legit for Dallas. They're one of the better offenses in the league, especially with the way that they've been running the ball now. It looks like Zeke is starting to find his legs a little bit. Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, those guys look fully back, and sort of that offensive line back to full strength. But defensively, I'm not totally buying in to some of the progress they've made. A lot of it's been driven by turnovers. They've still been giving up yardage. They've still been giving up big plays. So I think that's a group that's sort of going to be hit or miss based on whether or not they get those turnovers. Trevon Diggs isn't going to keep getting interceptions at the rate he is. So I think that's sort of where they're vulnerable, but they can score with anyone. And I still think they are the favorites in that division.
Ben, back to Washington real quick. Let's say, hypothetically, I get to wave a magic wand, and all the communication issues, which seem to be, by the way, perpetual here in Washington, but I digress on that. Let's say all those things get fixed. What's this group's actual ceiling? I don't think it's what we saw last year when they were playing crappy quarterbacks. It was like you and me back there slinging the ball around. But what is there? Are they the 15th best? Are they the 25th best? Or could they be that unit that we kind of hoped they'd be coming into this season, a group that could actually make a difference?
Yeah, personnel-wise, I think they can be sort of fringe top 10, sort of right around there if everything gets ironed out. I was a big fan of William Jackson coming into the year. I think he's a guy who hasn't necessarily lived up to that rookie season he had with the Bengals, or his second year. He missed his rookie year with injury, where he was blanking Antonio Brown. But he still is a number one type cornerback, I think, at full strength. So with him, with Fuller, with some of the safeties they have, I think the group has the potential to be sort of that top 10 unit. I don't think they'll necessarily be elite, but they can definitely be above average.
Go around the NFL a little bit with you, Ben. The Steelers, what are they going to do with Ben Roethlisberger?
That's a good question. They should be benching Ben Roethlisberger based on how he's played to start the year. They just haven't had much explosiveness at all on offense. I mean, you're swing passing to Najee Harris on fourth down multiple times. Anytime pressure gets near Roethlisberger, he seems to fold. He's been our lowest graded quarterback under pressure this year, and when you have that offensive line in front of him with Pittsburgh and all the changes they've made, sort of how that group looks, that's a problem. You need a guy who can create, who can extend plays, and that's just not what Roethlisberger is at this stage of his career. So it's not like Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph are much better at this point, but you have to at least see what they can do.
Who's the best team in the NFL right now?
I still think it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that game against New England wasn't great. I know they're banged up in the secondary right now, but from top to bottom, there just aren't a ton of holes in that roster. If they get some of those cornerbacks back over the next few weeks and later in the year, with the way Tom Brady's playing right now, I still think they're the best team.
Okay, so maybe take them out of it for a second. I was kind of curious if you would say something about Arizona or Buffalo at this point. The way teams are playing right now versus the way you think they'll be playing in 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is legit. I know Allen was in that lowest graded quarterback from a clean pocket tweet I sent out. But I still think with what they have on offense and the way he can create under pressure, the way he can extend plays and what we saw last year, I still believe in that group, and their defense looks a lot better. I think they can really challenge Kansas City, Cleveland, at the top of that AFC. As for the Cardinals, I still put them behind the Rams, even though they just beat them pretty handily, behind Tampa Bay and probably behind Green Bay. I just don't really trust what Arizona has in the secondary on defense. I think teams will be able to beat them. And I still want to see whether or not this Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury thing can extend later into the year, because we saw it fall off a little bit last season.
It seems like you spend a lot of time watching the Browns. I see some tweets about their last couple games. I want to get your expertise on Baker Mayfield. Are they really going to pay him?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It was kind of like last week, looking at what their future could be if they pay Baker Mayfield with Kirk Cousins on the other side. And it's not that Mayfield hasn't been one of the better quarterbacks in the league over the last year. But if you pay him $40 million, which is about the going rate for quarterbacks, it just makes it really tough to maintain the roster around him that they have right now. And you've seen the last couple weeks, for whatever reason, with Odell in the lineup, Odell Beckham Jr., he just sort of falls off a little bit. He missed him a few times in that game on what would have been easy touchdowns. And the offense just doesn't run quite as smoothly for whatever reason that is. So I think if you're Cleveland, you have to pay him, just because of the situation, because of what he did the last year and how good he's been. He's still an above average quarterback, but it definitely makes it tough to sort of keep that core around him.
Is there a metric when you say he's been one of the better quarterbacks in the league in the last year, is that like a PFF numbers thing? Like, anecdotally, that sounds insane to me. You mentioned Cousins.
Yeah,
I don't think he's as good as Kirk Cousins. He's never thrown for 4,000 yards. He's never had 27 touchdowns. He misses throws all the time. I think he's a jag. But like, is there something that says he's been one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and it just, my eyeballs are wrong?
Yeah, since sort of over the back half of last year, after that Beckham injury, from week 7 through the end of the playoffs, he was a top 5 graded quarterback for us.
Wow.
And his underlying passing numbers, so passer rating, those sorts of things, they were all pretty solid too. Obviously, being in that Kevin Stefanski offense, it helps having the run game they do with that offensive line, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, the best backfield in the NFL, all that stuff makes life easier on Baker Mayfield, but he still operated it well, and that offense is really clicking. Hasn't been quite the same to start this year, but heading into last week, it was still an efficient offense. So I think he can sort of operate that, but he's not in the Patrick Mahomes, the apparently Justin Herbert, with the way he started, a tier of guys who can really elevate an offense beyond sort of the system in the scheme.
Pro Football Focus's Ben Lindsay joins us here on Grant and Danny. Ben, I think by my count, there are 10 1-3 teams, just kind of state of the league right now. I can rip through them if you want to, but I'm wondering, of those 1-3 teams that have gotten off to bad starts, who's still got a chance at having a good season?
Yeah, I think out of those teams, when you're looking, I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. I do think that the Giants are actually a team who could push a little bit past what they've been, just by the way Daniel Jones is playing. He's had a lot of success. It's been the best year of his career so far. Even though things around him haven't really worked out, they haven't been playing all that well, he's still throwing the ball well. And if they can get progression from that offensive line a little bit, if their receivers can get a little bit healthier, I was also a fan of their defense coming into the year. I know that group hasn't really lived up to expectations, but personnel-wise, I like what they have in the secondary with Adoree Jackson, James Bradbury, a deep safety group. So I think if that starts to click in that NFC East, which has winnable games, I think they can turn things around a little bit.
Ben's on Twitter at PFF_Lindsey, no D, LINSEY. You want to follow him, smart football analyst for PFF. Before we let you go, the Saints are coming to town this weekend. I just rewatched the game they played against the Giants. A couple of things got away from them, or they would have won going away. They were up 11 in the fourth quarter. They lose in overtime. But they are short on talent a little bit, other than Kamara on offense. Like, there's more Chris Hogan and Ty Montgomery playing wide receiver than I was expecting when I started watching that game. What do we need to know about the Saints going into Sunday at FedEx Field?
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for Washington, just in that they can't really attack, or at least with their personnel at receiver. It's difficult for them to attack what has been Washington's biggest weakness so far. They've been one of the run-heaviest teams in the NFL this year. So they're sort of going to be going up against the teeth of that Washington defense. And then on the other side, their secondary has some holes. Paulson Adebo has been targeted this year. So if they can get Terry McLaurin on him a little bit and away from Marshawn Lattimore, I think that's where Washington can have some success.
Ben, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great rest of your week.
Anytime. Take care.
We'll see you, buddy.
Good info. There's Ben Lindsey. Check out his Twitter at PFF_Lindsey, joining us here on Grant and Danny. I will say that I was surprised by how meh the Saints offense looked. And I get that they lost, probably wasn't their best game, but like, they don't have a ton of weapons. I kept waiting, like, what's scary about this team? And Sean Payton, as much as I like him, he uses Taysom Hill a ton.
Yeah.
But at times you're going, why, dude? So Jameis Winston completed 11 straight passes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They hit this home run on a deep post to the end zone for his 12th straight completion. Would have been like a 50-yard deep pass touchdown, their second explosive play of the day, basically. Gets called back for a penalty, and they have a first and 20. Again, Jameis is rolling. They're in rhythm. Best they've looked all day for a couple straight drives. He just hit his 12th straight pass. They bring Taysom Hill out, and he throws a deep ball, and he throws a pick. And it sounds like revisionist history, but I'm thinking, Sean Payton's smarter than me. I get it. But why? You got this guy who's in rhythm. He's like a drop-back passer who is a shooter who's hitting a bunch of threes in a row. Get him the basketball and get out of the way. They take him off the field. They bring Hill in, who I don't think had thrown a pass all day, and he takes this deep shot, and it's a pick. They just do these weird things sometimes where their offense gets out of sync.
Yeah, it's this weird fascination just to make sure that everybody knows how smart he is, and he's got Taysom Hill, so he's got to use it. They got to justify it. They pay Taysom Hill pretty good money. So I guess it's just it's the weirdest usage. Alvin Kamara is an excellent football player. I will 1,000 times out of 1,000 prefer, if I'm playing the Saints, to have Alvin Kamara just line up in the backfield and hand him the football off. He's running for 3.8 a carry. They're using him like he's Derrick Henry. He's on pace for 300-some-odd carries, you know, 1,000 yards, but who gives a damn? When he's doing all the scary things, where he's out in the slot, where he's running those arrow routes, option routes, choice routes, he is terrifying. He can do anything on the football field. Only 14 targets through four games. Please continue to do that. Please give him all the football carries that you want. Don't throw the football in the passing game.
They screen through Deontay Harris, who's way faster than Kamara and is really scary with the ball in his hands. Now, he's a wideout. They don't really put him in the backfield. They did throw a couple of screens to backs, believe it or not, who weren't Kamara, who they would bring in and throw the ball to. So maybe it was just a kind of a quirky thing, but as you said, it's kind of a season-long stat right now that he's not getting targeted. But it's a lot of screens. I don't know that they really trust Jameis to see the field deep.
And I know it's different now without Drew Brees, because that's what Brees was going to do, the quick, short passing, surgical. But Kamara's 4 straight years of north of 80 receptions. This isn't just some guy that also catches the ball. He and Christian McCaffrey are kind of the leaders in this new school of running back. So it's just odd to me how they're going about it.
I know they didn't play well, but watching that game, I thought, Washington can hang with this team. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to. It's the second straight week where they're playing a bottom four offense in the NFL coming into the game. Now, they made the Falcons look pretty good, and the Falcons improved their standing on offense by several spots. But it's a nice opportunity again for the defense, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Michael Thomas is not healthy, and they haven't really gotten their deep passing game going. They hit on a 50-yard play out of halftime, 50-yard completion to Callaway down the field. for 58 yards. He had 2 for 74 in the game. But other than that, everything was pretty much underneath. They had 2 catches longer than 15 yards in the passing game. They keep it all around the line of scrimmage. They go on long drives when they score, 11 plays, 63 yards, 75 yards for Taysom Hill. And they run him. If it's third and short or it's anything inside the 10.
Here comes Taysom Hill.
It's just like a high school thing where they snap it to him and he just runs behind a bunch of pulling guards left or right.
What I don't know is what's real and not about their defense. Week one, I think I'm kind of throwing that out. That's like the high score and the high dive in the Olympics. You know, that Green Bay game is almost fluky and weird. If they played it again today, it wouldn't go that way. There are times that defense has looked great. Like in week three against New England looked like they had no prayer. There's nothing they could have done. But then Carolina did whatever the hell they felt like against them. It could have scored 40 points in that ballgame, but they kind of let off the gas there. And they couldn't stop the Giants a couple times over. So I'm having a kind of a tough time reconciling what defense is really theirs.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Let's dive into some of the pass rushing numbers from this week. Who got to the quarterback and applied pressure? Who didn't? And how do we feel about that unit amid injuries now? John Bostic is out. You're going to see a lot more Jamin Davis. Is that a good thing or bad thing? And you lose Torrey McTyer, so you're reshuffling the corner situation. Troy Apke's getting closer to being on the field. You're listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Around the NFL we go. Touching on every game from this weekend, we start in Buffalo, where the Bills beat the Texans 40-0. Buffalo's 3-1 with wins of 35, 22, and 40 points over the last 3 weeks. Davis Mills, 87 passing yards and 4 interceptions in this game. Oh. The Bills' defense has been automatic. They've had the benefit of playing some bad offenses as well. Josh Allen, couple of touchdowns. And they did whatever they want on the ground, over 200 rushing yards for the Bills in this game.
As dominant a performance as we've seen. I mean, listen, Houston, the first few weeks had fought and been in some of these games. Limited, obviously. They're sort of a mismatch, kind of cobbled together group. But this was one team that's really good, another team that's spinning its wheels at best. What a dominant win.
Chicago, sneaky 500 at 2-2, despite a lot of making fun of Matt Nagy and the Bears. They beat the 0-4 Lions behind Justin Fields, who completed just 11 passes, but they went for over 200 yards in the game. He was touchdownless, threw an interception, was okay, but definitely made some flash big-time throws, and fans were really excited to see him make those passes. They might not get through this weekend, because Andy Dalton, if he's healthy, is going to be the starter, according to Matt Nagy. David Montgomery got hurt before that, 106 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. And the Lions just don't look good. Jared Goff threw for 299 and two, mostly in garbage time. They came back and got a late touchdown, but they were down by 17 points going into the fourth quarter.
For DFS purposes, start running backs against Detroit. The best play Fields made was an incompletion, Grant. I don't know if you saw this play. He was under pressure. He gave the guy kind of a head and shoulder fake, spun out of it, Kyler Murray style, ran to the right, and kind of just flicked a ball 40, 50 yards down the field, and, you know, just sort of, it fell incomplete. It was innocuous. But that's the kind of thing where I go, if I'm watching, I go, this is worth doing. This is worth pursuing. Let's all just be patient with him.
Earmuffs, Washington football team fans. The Cowboys are good. Dak Prescott threw for a buck 88 and four touchdowns. One to Cooper, one to Schultz, one to Wilson, one to Jarwin. Everybody ate. Cooper led the team with 69 receiving yards.
It's coming. It's picked up. Prescott going for it all for Cooper. He's got it. Touchdown.
Kevin Burkhardt, Fox NFL Sunday on the call there. By the way, are we still doing the Tony Pollard's better than Ezekiel Elliott thing? Every fantasy guy you've ever heard of loves saying that because of their fantasy predictions before the year. Ezekiel Elliott calmly ran for a buck 43 and a touchdown. Everyone shut up immediately, please, on that front. But they ran for 230 yards as a team. In fact, it was 245 overall. Panthers didn't have J.C. Horn in the secondary, didn't have Christian McCaffrey. Didn't look like the same team.
No, and that had nothing to do with stopping the run, by the way. Dallas can do whatever they want. Offensively, they're excellent. Quick note, DJ Moore is a star in Carolina. Doesn't get enough credit. Doesn't get enough pub. He should. 8 for $113 and 2 touchdowns. But Dallas looked absolutely dominant in this one. The score wasn't indicative to me of how much better they were than Carolina.
Good point on DJ Moore. He's outstanding.
Stud. Just a stud.
You know who else is really good, by the way? I think he's getting his roses for this because he plays for the Cowboys. Trayvon Diggs. He had two picks in this game.
Five interceptions, this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
What are we doing?
That's funny. This, like, the casual this guy popped me.
Like, well, I'm saying, like, you know why. Their acquisition, five interceptions. Our guy's getting broken down on film. He can't cover anybody, but it makes $14 million.
Trayvon Diggs, you draft him. Second year, he's coming into his own. All right, let's talk Colts, Dolphins. Indianapolis, an underdog somehow in this game against Miami, getting points. They won by 10. Jacoby Brissett did throw for about 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Carson Wentz, give him credit. Last year, he led the league in interceptable passes. According to PFF, he has the fewest number of turnover-worthy throws so far this season. No picks, clean game, 2 touchdowns, 228 on the ground, through the air. And then on the ground, which is how they make this work, Jonathan Taylor, 100 yards on 16 carries. So they start on the run, the works, they stick with the run, and then they mix in a little Carson Wentz as they go. That was the formula for the Colts. Finally got a win. Both Indy and Miami are 1-3.
And Miami looks bad. Miami looks really bad now. I mean, just thinking about it, their one win over the Patriots looks more and more fluky. They've just been second class when it comes to every other team they've played. They were by far and away worse than the Colts. And now, as you said, both are sitting at 1-3.
The Browns scored 14 and doubled up the Vikings in a defensive struggle in Minneapolis. 14-7 final score. Cleveland's 3-1. The Vikings fall to 1-3, and they did it in spite of Baker Mayfield. He completed 15 passes and missed on 18 throws, including a bunch of wide-open guys down the field that would have busted the game open. But this defense is the truth. They held the Vikings to 255 net, 4 yards per play. Kirk Cousins couldn't get anything going. Dalvin Cook, Alex Mattison, neither of them could run the football. Myles Garrett knows, after giving up 1 net yard passing to the Bears and holding the Vikings down the last 2 weeks, this defense is right where it needs to be.
I mean, it just shows that, you know, last week wasn't just a one-time thing. You know, we can hold up against just about anybody and everybody. You know, once we got rolling, we started looking, you know, real good and really competitive. You know, that first drive, they hit us the first 15, and things that we weren't used to. But once we got settled, you know, we were attacking and looking dominant.
First possession, Minnesota walked right down and scored. Cousins to Jefferson. By the way, Justin Jefferson's awesome as well.
He's great.
And you're going, uh-oh, here we go. As you said, first 15, Minnesota's got something.
The Vikings offense has just hummed, and that first drive, it was like, okay, well, two Goliaths are going to meet, and no one is going to, you know, be the David here. Somebody became the David.
Yeah, that's all you get. Now just get out of our way because we're needing.
Four quarters later, that was their dominant. Offense.
I mean, that was the offense. They went 3 hours basically without scoring again.
I rewatched this game today. I should say I watched it. I didn't watch it the first time on NFL Game Pass. Giants beat the Saints in overtime, 27-21. The reason I watched it was to get familiar with New Orleans, who Washington is welcoming to FedEx Field on Sunday. The Saints are now 2-2, just like the football team. The Giants get their first win of the year, 1-3 now, a 27-21 OT thriller. They got the ball after the kick in overtime, marched down the field for a Saquon Barkley 6-yard touchdown run. In this game, Daniel Jones, 400 passing yards. His only interception was on a Hail Mary at the end of the half. And I think they shouldn't even count those, by the way. When you just flick a ball up on a Hail Mary, everyone loves to count interceptions up at the end of the year. To me, that's not the same as just a pick where you make a bad read. But I digress. The Giants win on this call, WFAN Radio Network.
Can they score a touchdown and end this with 5 minutes to go in OT? Jones out of the gun. Hand off Saquon, slices right to the end zone and in for the touchdown of the Giants, winning in overtime. Saquon Barkley on a 6-yard run.
Huge offensive play in that game, by the way, was Barkley on a little wheel route, J.D. McKissick style. The difference is he ran away from his defender and jogged calmly into the end zone. Now you're starting to see the usage, right? Kind of on a pitch count the first few weeks as he comes back from knee surgery. He's going to be a different player in October, November than he was in September. And for New Orleans, I'm not quite sure what they're doing. I think Sean Payton's great. I'm a huge Sean Payton fan. How do you not have Alvin Kamara target in the passing game? I'm no genius. He ran 26 times, so he got his touches. But what makes that guy special ain't thumping between the tackles. Get him in space. Get him the football. I hope they don't realize that before next week, having him against Landon Collins and Washington's depleted linebacking core.
Kamara ran for 120. They gained 400 net yards. So it's not like they were struggling offensively. But yeah, you'd like to see him catch some passes. Let's go to the other New York team. The Jets, a stunning Victor Zambrano, 27-24 over the Titans. Zach Wilson, kid quarterback, couple of touchdowns, 297 through the air. He guides New York to its first win of the season. The Titans lost in week 1 to the Cardinals, back-to-back wins, now 500 at 2-2. They had a chance to make a kick in overtime to tie the game late, and they weren't able to.
Out of the hold of Townsend. The snap clean, the placement down, the kick on the way. Does it have the distance? It floats left. It's no good! It's no good! He pulled it left!
This is the end of the game.
And the Jets win it in overtime on the missed field goal by Bullock.
Jets radio network call, ESPN New York. How about the revenge game for Corey Davis? Wide receiver, 4 catches, 111, 1 touchdown against the team that drafted him that he left this offseason.
Tremendous Zach Wilson. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? Play in this one as well, where he scrambled around, threw it off his back foot about 90 yards. It was amazing. Numbers approximate. We need to start talking about Derrick Henry, not just as one of the best running backs, but one of the best players in the league. He's on pace to set the yardage record. He's on pace to break the touches record. He is a machine that doesn't break down.
Yeah.
Every year I'm going, yeah, this is going to be it. He's going to have his Eddie George moment where he just falls off a cliff and is no longer effective. I'll let you know when that happens. He is an absolute stud.
You have to be a quarterback to win the MVP. Break that rule for this guy. Seriously. If this team gets where it wants to go at the end of the year. Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns. The Chiefs outlasted the Eagles 42-30. Their defense is still terrible. Philly moved the ball for 461 yards and 6.6 yards per play. But Tyreek Hill had 11 catches, scored 3 touchdowns, went for a 186 from Mahomes, who has the Chiefs back to 2-2.
There's still a long ways to go. This is a long season. We started in the right direction by battling. I mean, they came out and firing, and we were able to battle back and find a way to win the football game. But if you look at our schedule, there's no easy games. So we've kind of earned the right to play in all these tough games, and we have to continue to build and get better. You don't win a season at the beginning of October, September. It's about getting better each and every week.
And they certainly look better, especially on offense. They fed Tyreek Hill. Edwards Elair had himself 100 yards on the ground, but that's just to set up more passing. They were really, really good in the throwing game.
Handful of games to get to as we continue our breakdown of week 4 around the NFL. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes you can see it on the player's face, and we've got to try to continue to get these guys to, hey, get past that. Quit overthinking things. Quit trying to where you're trying too hard and you're taking yourself outside of the realm of what we're asking you to do.
Ron Rivera with the Junkies earlier today. That's the problem with the defense, is they're trying too hard.
Oh.
It's like when you do an interview and the person interviewing you for the job goes, so what are your weaknesses? And you go, you know, I just care too much.
I care too much.
That's the issue.
I take it too personally.
With this defense.
I work too hard.
They're just trying too hard. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, talking about the D-line. This is said better than anything I've said on this subject, so I'm going to steal it. Our buddy Guilo on Twitter says, I'm not mad that the D-line is not a weakness. I'm mad that the D-line is not a strength. I think
exactly.
That is perfectly said.
Exactly. Because, again, I will say this till I'm blue in the face. People are going to be tired of me saying it. Every team gets the same amount of resources. Draft picks, dollars. How you allocate them is how good you are. Everything is allocated towards this defense. 7 of their top 9 highest paid players are on defense. 4 first-round draft picks and then a fifth one this year within, you know, 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That group needs to be outstanding. There's no other way around that. Not even okay. You can't just be fine. You could be fine if you had a bunch of third-rounder or, you know, cheap veteran Jags. This is the investment. That's how they're built. Not being excellent is inexcusable.
They are not the weakness, but it is a major story that they haven't been the strength.
Precisely.
And that they have not broken through. Forget winning them a game, which they did a few times last season. They haven't taken over drives. Maybe once. I think the 3-and-out at the end of the game against the Falcons, maybe, where Allen and Sweat just got a big play in the backfield, TFL on first down. But they haven't changed quarters. They haven't changed halves. You just haven't seen it yet. Jerome's in Waldorf. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. So for me, I'm gonna stand up for my boy Chase Young, man. I think we're missing the main value of what he brings to the team. And what I believe he brings to the team is his hustle to the ball, man. A lot of his plays he made last year, rather it been the big hit on the quarterback on the goal line, he fumbled the ball, was him hustling to the ball. He's gonna get his sacks if he continue to hustle. And also one of the things that he brings to the team is that he's the type of person, man, that galvanized the whole team, similar to Ray Lewis, if you ask me. And the reason I say that is this. When the offense out there and they're engaged in the game, he's out there. He's engaged. He's out there screaming Heineke. He's out there engaged. So
Jerome, I love that about him. I really do. I love that he cares so much on the sideline, that he's running up and down the sideline, picking guys up who fall after they make a catch. But Ray Lewis is in the Hall of Fame because he made a million tackles and he intercepted passes and scored touchdowns, not because he gave a good speech.
Yeah, I didn't have to be more than a Duke walk-on on the bench with a towel.
You're not coined generational because you're a guy that's going to give the pep talk in the huddle. Hustle is cool. You know who hustles? Casey Tuhill. I'll bet that guy hustles his ass off. I bet you James Smith Williams, a seventh-round pick at NC State, hustles a lot. That he was drafted second overall. Being a good hustler can't be your calling card. Chad's in Germantown. Hey, Chad.
What's up, Chad?
Grant and Danny, appreciate you guys.
Go ahead,
hey,
bud.
Talking about Chase Young, every time I watch, and we haven't seen much from him this year other than going around the corner in preseason and hitting Cam Newton. But since then, it frustrates me that it seems like we never move him around. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a coach's job is to get matchups for their players. So we talked about like him being our Von Miller. I mean, you see Von Miller move around the field. I would love to see Chase Young line up somewhere else once in a while.
So they did in week one. They did in week one for sure, where they tried
to. Good call, by the way.
Yeah, seriously, appreciate it. They said, well, maybe try Brian Bulaga. Well, maybe try Brian Bulaga's backup, Storm Schwarzkopf, Norton. No, nothing doing.
No, but I don't know that he's saying move him to the other side.
Saying on interior?
He's saying move him around. Like, you know, teams do with edge rushers all the time, where he rushes from over top of the nose, where he rushes from over top of a guard. They did it once, by the way, and it worked this past week. His pressure that we talked about where he ran a game, he actually was inside over top of a guard rather than being outside as an edge like he normally is. They should do more of that. I think it's a great observation and a smart call. I've been begging for this for weeks. I don't know why he doesn't move around more. You always know where Montez Sweat's going to be. You always know where Chase Young's going to be. Those guys are allowed to line up anywhere on the field. Maybe mix in some different looks every now and then. Tony's in Bowie. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Granddaddy. Thanks a lot, man, for taking my call, man. I just feel like, man, you know, I appreciate Ron Rivera, but I think ultimately we're going to have to go young and get it. You know, you a coach that has more energy. I look at Ron during the game, and seriously, he looks like a cadaver, man. Like, seriously, like, he doesn't even any emotion. And this team is still, I know they say the culture's changed, but it just seems like this team still just embraces mediocrity, man. You got Dustin Hopkins, a man who can't even hit an extra point. Like, you know, we were down because he missed two extra points. Then you got Landon Collins, you're still trotting him out on the field, and he can't cover the ghost of Stephen Hawking. Like, seriously, I don't understand.
Take it easy on my guy, Stephen Hawking, one of the smartest people ever, my guy.
Man, he's definitely one of the smartest people ever, man. I mean, he rest in peace, man. But I'm just like, bro, like, what are we doing out here, man? We keep trotting. You got John Bostic, and I'm sorry he got injured, but I'm excited to see Kalike Hudson, man. I'm just being honest. Like,
me too.
Same.
Kalike Hudson out of Michigan, maybe he gives him something. He's a little bit redundant. Like, he's got the same box safety. Maybe he's a linebacker. Maybe he's a safety vibe of a Landon Collins. They have a few of those guys on the team. But according to what Rivera told the Junkies today, they're mostly going to use two linebackers and go with multiple safeties anyway. So hopefully no one in New Orleans was listening to that, because we kind of know what they're thinking for this weekend defensively. He also on the Junkies today said that Hopkins is not a problem until he becomes a problem. So, the missed field goal for the win against the Giants and the two extra points this weekend, not a problem.
I look forward to figuring out when that is.
I think it's when he misses a kick and they lose a game because of it.
Oh, okay.
Then it's a problem.
Okay.
800-636-1067. We can keep chatting about this. Danny, we also still need to talk about whether or not you're the hot dad, so we can push our double play into next segment.
Okay.
We've got the Beltway Blitz. We're going to have a lot to do here on The Fan. You're listening to G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.